Welcome, friends, to the New Season Ministry Network podcast. I think this is the third one that we've done. This is coming to you live from the palatial, plush New Season offices on Spotsylvania Avenue, and this is Rob Almy, who's doing this podcast. I want to talk with you today about the spiritual nature of starting churches, that church planting is a spiritual enterprise. And I've learned this the hard way sometimes as we've gone about starting New Season Church. I quickly learned that the harder I tried to reach people for Christ and relied on my own strength, the worse I did. The more I relied on my own wisdom in trying to reach lost people for Christ, the worse it got. So what I'm trying to say to you today is that prayer is central to the work of starting a new faith community. Just as important, if not more important, than vision, mission, values, advertising, music, preaching, is for a new church to be grounded in prayer. My coach is a guy by the name of Jim Griffith, and he said that one of the top 10 mistakes that new churches make is not taking spiritual warfare seriously enough. Now, friends, I have to tell you that I'm not one of those people that kind of looks at spiritual warfare in the sense that there's a devil hiding behind every bush and around every corner, but I want to let you know that I believe that the devil is real, that evil is real, that he doesn't go around with a little pitchfork with red pointy ears. He wants us to fall in the trap of believing that's how he is, but his power is so much greater than that. Now, thankfully, we have a power that surpasses his power in Jesus Christ, who has conquered him, who is the liar, and as I like to refer to him, the punk. But I want to you to listen to how Paul puts it in the book of Ephesians. Listen to this passage from Ephesians. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And here's the key verse. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Did you catch there where Paul says that our struggle is not against the flesh, but against that which is unseen? And so that's what I'm talking about today. And so I want to pose the question, how is it then that we as a new church start can stand against the enemy, against his deceptions, against his accusations, and against his temptation? How is it that we can reclaim the idea that the church of Jesus Christ, is to be a house of prayer with concern for lost people? Well, let me throw out some ideas to you of ways that I think we can reclaim being a house of prayer that's concerned with lost people. Some of these things are things that we have already done in the past or maybe done here and there sporadically. And there are some new things, some new ideas that I want to share with you. One particular idea about how we can make prayer a priority in the life of this new church that we're trying to start is by doing something called prayer walking. What happens here is that usually a small group of people gather together in a neighborhood, and they just kind of just split up and walk through the neighborhood, praying for that neighborhood, praying for that community to come to know Christ, praying for the people there to know the salvation that can only come from Christ, both in this life and in the life to come, to pray for the people in that community to be freed from bondage and from addiction, to be freed from the things that are preventing them from following Christ, to be freed from busyness, to have their hearts softened so that when they receive an invitation through a postcard in the mail, through a co-worker at work, or they drive by and see a church sign, that something will happen in their heart and in their head, that they'll come to be connected with our church, and that they'll see Jesus Christ revealed. Prayer walking is a great way to ask God to soften up the soil of people's hearts so that the gospel seed might be planted. People might come to know Christ. Another way that we might make our church a house of prayer that has concern for the lost is by praying before, during, and after worship for the persons who will sit in the chairs on Sunday morning at our worship celebration experience. As we kind of moved away from Massaponics High School, we've gotten out of the practice of praying over the seats and the people that are going to be sitting there. And, you know, that's our own fault. But we can reclaim that practice of praying before our worship celebration even starts for people to experience the love and the power of the Holy Spirit that will be present as we invoke the power of Christ through song, through the reading of the Scripture, through teaching, and through prayer. And then we also might even have someone that's praying during the service, during our worship celebration experience, for the people that are already in the seats, praying that they would come to know the love of Christ, that they'd come to find hope, that if they've come there as broken people or as people that have had a bad week, that they would come to know the healing power that comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or for people that come who think they have it all figured out, or for people that are coming that are happy and content, that they would be disturbed, that they would have a holy uneasiness of God calling them to something more. Or for people that are coming for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, that they would have a positive experience and they might be able to shed some of their misconceptions about what church is, and more importantly, about who Jesus Christ is, that's been propagated by people, some well-meaning, some not, in the church. Another idea that we can become a house of prayer to live out is to pray by name for our friends, relatives, co-workers, and neighbors who are far from God. If there was a way that we could solicit the names of those we know who don't have Christ in their life, who haven't yielded their life to Jesus Christ, those who are far from God, those who are seeking to find a way back to God, and if we could just find a way to pray over them, God could do miraculous things, trusting in His power to do far more than we can even ask or imagine. We can become a house of prayer that has concern for lost people by praying for our leadership, by praying for me as your pastoral leader, by praying for Steve as our worship leader, by praying for other staff and other people who give their time, their gifts, and their talents to make New Season a church where people are welcomed, where the lost can come and find Christ, where they can become empowered radical followers of Jesus Christ. Those are just some ways, friends, that we can make New Season Church a house of prayer and recognize that this endeavor that we're on is as much a spiritual exercise as anything else. And so I want to ask you these questions specifically. What if we at New Season prayed twice a month through different communities in our mission field, maybe praying for those areas that we've identified, as we've already done through our weekly seasoning and our news and notes, where 2, 3, 5, or 10 people got together and spread out over a community and prayed for God to be working through the people in that community that live in those houses, to pray that God would knock on their hearts, to pray that God would reveal Himself to them, to pray that they would be connected to us or to some other Christ-honoring place, to pray for the real needs and the felt needs of those in that community, whether that be handling money or raising children, or whether that be that they're caught in a dead-end job, whatever it is, that we would just have a heart and pray for people that Christ would be revealed to them. Or what if, I ask, we maintained a list of the first names of people who don't know Christ, who we know and love, who are our friends, our relatives, our co-workers, and our neighbors, and we encourage people to pray for those people if we found a system, a way to do that. Or what if we had someone who would come and be responsible for laying hands on every row of seats before our worship celebration experience starts, and then on a rotating basis would go in a separate space where they wouldn't be in our worship celebration experience, but they would commit to be praying for that hour and 15 minutes while the rest of us are worshiping, for Christ's presence and His glory to be revealed, for Christ to move in powerful ways in our worship setting? What if? What if the church committed to praying for its leadership on a regular basis? What if the church committed to sharpening our prayer life through a church-wide fast each week within health reasonability? Can we reclaim the church as a house of prayer with a passion for loss? Friends, this is where I need your help and where I'll engage in a little bit of confession. Part of my gifts that I've identified, the spiritual gifts that God has given me, that has equipped me to do, is to be a visionary. I'm a person that kind of has his head in the clouds sometimes. And what I mean by that is that I'm great with coming up with all kinds of ideas, with coming up with vision. Where I need your help, though, is in living out that vision. The problem with us visionaries is not that we can't necessarily carry out the vision, or we can't come up with a plan or a system for carrying out the vision. Many of us can, if we had the time, if we had the stamina, if we didn't have so many other visions that are in our hearts that we want to share with others. So that's where I need you. That's where I need us to come together as the body of Christ so that we could complement each other. And so I want to pose to you the question, what is God nudging you to do in light of the truth that church planting and starting a church is a spiritual enterprise? Is God calling you to help organize the overall prayer ministry so that we can be a house of prayer that is concerned for lost people here at New Season Church? Is God calling you to find a way to organize how we can pray for the lost people in our lives who don't know Christ? Is Christ calling you to be one who comes 45 minutes early to our worship celebration experience and lays hands on all those seats, praying for the people that will sit in those seats, praying that God will send people to sit in those seats who don't yet know Christ? Are you a person that's willing to give up an hour and 15 minutes of worship once a month, once every 2 months, once every 3 months to pray for others who are in worship, that God's power and that the Holy Spirit would be revealed to them? What is God nudging you to do? I invite you to pray about that. I invite you to have conversation with me about that. A couple of last things I want to say to you while I have you on this podcast, if you've listened to this far and haven't shut it off already. And that has to do with, I guess, frustrations that all of us feel at one time or another, specifically concerning the pace of growth that we sometimes see here at New Season Church. We said a long time ago at our vision night that we seem to be doing many of the right things. We seem to have the heart and the vision to reach the people in Massaponics and the greater Fredericksburg area who are far from Christ, and that we want to do all things possible within the bounds of the Bible and of the gospel to reach those people. And so we've structured our church that way. I've spoken here on the podcast before about what it means to welcome people and to expect guests to come, and how we order our ministry and just everything we do with the person who has never been or is just returning for the first time to church, to remove all obstacles save for the cross of Christ, that people would come to know who Jesus is. And so sometimes I think there's a frustration. I know I find it sometimes, where it doesn't seem like the church is growing fast enough. Well, I have to tell you, friends, that in the end, Christ is the one who builds his church. Christ is the one who causes growth to happen or not to happen. What we have to do is keep on being faithful, creating environments where lost people can connect to Christ, continuing to offer the good news of Jesus Christ, and trust him who has promised to build his church to indeed build his church. You know, because in the end, it really doesn't matter how cool your church is. It doesn't matter how good the messages are. It doesn't matter how cool the worship is, or the kind of music that you sing, or it doesn't matter the graphics you use on a screen. What matters is that Christ would grow his church, and that Christ would be invited to be a part of that. We do that when we recognize that this whole church planting thing, this whole starting churches, is a spiritual exercise. And so we need as a church to focus on that. And so that is my invitation to you today, is to focus on that with me, that we could be that house of prayer, that we could be relying and recognizing that our battle is not a battle against flesh, but against principalities, against things that are unseen. Lastly today, in reference to our concern and frustration kind of over pace and the idea that we seem to be doing right things and creating the environments and we don't see this explosive growth. Some of you know that I went to the National New Church Conference in Orlando a couple of weeks ago. And there I had the opportunity to sit in on a session by a guy named Ed Stetzer who has studied church plants. He's what's called a missiologist. And he and some other folks studied church plants from 2000 to 2005. And they talked to about 2,000 churches that were considered new churches. And they found out some interesting statistics, and I'm not going to bore you with all those statistics, except to give you this one statistic that had to do with church plant attendance as it relates to the year that the church was started. After 1 year amongst the 2,000 churches, can you guess what the average attendance was? After 1 year, it was slightly over 40 people in attendance. After 2 years, can you guess what the attendance was? It was about 57 people, the average attendance of these 2,000 new churches that were started. In year three, guess what the average attendance was? It was about 72 people. Year four, average attendance, about 84 people. Friends, we started in September of 2005. We've been worshiping over a year and a half now, not quite at 2 years. In September of 2007 will be 2 years for us. We're worshiping now between 80 and 100 people on a Sunday. Just to give that you some perspective, in case you forgot already, after 2 years, the average church attendance for these 2,000 churches that were sampled was 57. And so, friends, I know sometimes we get a little frustrated because we think that we should somehow have 200 or 300 people, and we certainly pray for that because we want to reach as many people as we can. But we also always got to come back to the fact that Christ is the one who builds His church, and our responsibility is to create environments, to cooperate with Christ, who is already present here in our community, and join Him in the work of bringing people closer to God so that they can connect with God, so they can live out their purpose, and so that they can know the joy and the wonders of salvation both in this life and in the life to come. In the email in which I send out this podcast, I'm going to try my best to paste in that picture of that graph so that you can see, recognizing that that graph is no way to make us stop and say, well, gosh, we've reached the average and we're above the average, but it's to recognize and keep in perspective and give us all some realistic expectations, realizing and praying that God would open the storehouses of heaven and that He would bless us with so many people that we couldn't even fit them to the end, not that we could have a lot of people and be proud and pat ourselves on the back, but to the end that glory might be brought to Jesus Christ, the builder of His church. Hey, thanks for listening. Appreciate your time.